Gene Bolduc is on the phone with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? I'm going to let you steer the ship on this one, because this is one of those weeks when there are a lot of things that are happening that may be things and may not be things. So we're kind of back to people upset about 15 different things all at once, as opposed to just the one big thing that's dominating everyone's attention.
Well, here's one to get out of the way that is definitely a thing that Kenny reminded me of earlier today.
Uh-oh.
Which is UNC beating Duke is still a thing. Hallelujah.
Yeah. But it's football, you know, it's not, it doesn't have the same cash as beating them in basketball. Like UNC beating NC State in basketball is like a big deal, but if we beat them in football,
that's
like huge. And Duke, I feel like, is the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But, you know, I love the tradition with the bell. And,
right.
And you know, I will tell you, let me just share with you one of my favorite UNC-Duke football game stories is that Rick and a friend went to a Duke-UNC football game.
Are you the friend in this story? 'Cause
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. And they went to this game, and, you know, they asked me if I wanted to go, and I went, no,
okay. Look,
it's going to be a blowout. Duke is going to lose big, as usual. This was not recently. It was many years ago. And Rick comes back, and he kind of sheepishly comes in, and I said, well, how was the game? He says, oh, you didn't watch it or listen to it? I said, no, I figured I'd get it all from you. He said, well, you know, I mean, you know, Carolina won the game. And I said, yeah, really? And he said, yeah. And it was like 52-48 or something. You know, he says, you know, my neck hurts from watching back and forth and back and forth. He said, I thought I accidentally went to a tennis match.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a thing, is that games like that, the rivalry is so big, and sometimes they're so insanely overpowered with scoring, because I don't know, do they save the guys on the defense for a bigger game? I don't know. But those are fun games to watch. So
that
was a pretty fun game last week.
Okay. All right.
From our point of view.
From our point of view, right.
Exactly.
All right. So next thing, the election's over. It's been incredibly only a week and a half. If you can, like, time has no meaning anymore, but Election Day was only a week and a half ago, if you can believe that. This time last week, we were still watching votes being counted in Pennsylvania. Like, that was a week ago. Feels like forever, but now we're to the point where we know who the next president is going to be, and the current president is still not just continuing on with the legal fights, which whatever, but also not allowing the transition to begin, which may be a little bit more of a thing. But
that's what I have, is that the administration's obstruction is a thing. That really is a thing. And it's taking a little while for Republican senators to finally say, okay, this was funny and everything, but seriously, you know, the president-elect needs to have the ability, for example, I mean, this isn't just whining on their part. They need to be able to do secure calls with foreign leaders, for example. You don't want Biden doing that from his cell phone, for heaven's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vice president, I don't think a lot of people have really noticed this, but the vice president-elect sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and she can get all this information.
Right.
But what? She can't share it with the president-elect? I mean, it's such a ridiculous situation. And, of course, the only in 2020 deal is that exactly no one is expecting Donald Trump to come around, as it were, and concede and start cooperating. Nobody cares what he says, or even to an extent what he does about this. We care about what the administrator of the GSA does, and we care about what Senate committees do and what Mitch McConnell does. And these things affect our relationships abroad and have real meaning. But, you know, whatever the president says at this point is a yawn.
There was that Saturday Night Live sketch a couple of weeks ago where they were talking about it was just kind of a throwaway line, but it was interesting. Like, they were talking about the fact that we know in 2020 the full name of the U.S. Postmaster General and how weird that is.
Right.
And that was weird a couple of weeks ago, and now it's even weirder that we're focusing so heavily on the GSA and this one random piece of paper that needs to be signed. Like, this is...
I know.
Michael, I keep coming back to this book because it's a great book by a great author, and it's an angle on the Trump presidency, which I think is extremely important and is not really much talked about because it's a boring topic by nature. But the author is Michael Lewis, who's a fantastic writer. He can make anything interesting. The book is called The Fifth Risk, and it's all about data science and the role of the government in gathering data and using it for positive benefit, for positive social benefit. And like he's got a whole chapter on collecting weather data and using it to help farmers determine when to plant their crops. Just to help farmers maximize their gain, to help maximize just the agricultural produce in American society. And that has gone downhill in the past few years, because Trump got into office, and as far as weather is concerned, literally the only thing he cares about is denying climate change. So that's the only thing that his appointees are focusing on. And then the people he puts in charge are, for the most part, industry leaders who have a personal financial incentive to get this data and then use it to enrich themselves at the expense of just the general welfare. And that's one chapter out of the book. But the larger point is there's all this boring stuff that just needs to happen every day. Like just a million people work for the government, and 99% of them are just ordinary people who get up in the morning and they go downstairs and they make breakfast and they go to work and they go into an office and they just do their jobs. And it's just the everyday boring work of doing your job in government that helps make society function. And the fact that that boring stuff isn't happening or isn't happening correctly is going to be, I think, one of the longest term effects and impacts of the Trump administration and the way that we see government and interpret it. And like the Postmaster General and the GSA is a classic example of that.
Well, that's exactly right. And the gigantic majority of those people have jobs that are completely without politics.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to do with politics. They have no slant, no angle, and nothing about their jobs that you could interpret through politics.
Yeah.
And they are being obstructed, as you described, you know, in doing these things that the people who work for the post office, they know that this work is important. A friend of mine who I worked with a few years ago, I'm so proud to know him, just posted a picture of himself that was taken while he was in Vietnam, and he was reading a letter from home. This is a beautiful photograph, and it just washes over you how obviously incredibly important it is for troops to be able to hold in their hands a physical piece of paper with messages that came from home. It's not the same as email. This tradition of the delivery of the mail goes back so far in this country. Of course, it's in the Constitution that this be part of American life. And to interfere with that, I mean, that was almost the unkindest cut of all, it seems to me.
Yeah.
In the last couple of months, my grandfather worked for the USDA and in the poultry division, and for him, it was all about the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any politics in his job at all.
Yeah, and again, like there was all of this talk in the run up to the election about they're doing this to try to sabotage the election. I actually don't think they were doing it to sabotage the election. I think if it was done for any nefarious purpose, it was being done maybe to like enrich the private companies that Louis DeJoy had a stake in. But one way or the other, like the postal system was not dismantled, but less mantled versus the way that it was before. And there was a major impact to that. You know, ballots were taking their sweet time getting to and from voters and the election offices, but so were bills, so were checks, so were birthday cards, so were medications. Like my family sent me my birthday card with the intention of having it arriving on my birthday. They all came a week late. That never happens. And that's one thing when it's a birthday card, because, you know, it comes, that's fine. It doesn't matter if it comes on the exact day. But if those were like necessary medications that I needed to survive from one day to the next, that's a whole nother thing. And there are people who are living that right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And while I'm sure that you were confident that your mom did not forget your birthday.
She did call me on my birthday
she
to say happy
you just
birthday.
To make sure, right?
And she called me again to ask if I had gotten the card. So I knew the card was on the way. That was not the concern.
Yeah. No, I mean I think that the two angles of that you described, when I think about that particular issue, I don't see any reason why it can't be both. A desire, because Trump was talking about the gigantic problems of mail-in ballots. He knew perfectly well that would mean that would make it possible for a higher turnout, and that working people would be the people who cannot take an entire day off to vote, mm-hmm. would be the ones who would benefit from that, which does not benefit him. And he was trying to chip away at the confidence that Americans have in that kind of system. But I also think it was DeJoy's interest in enriching himself, I can't get over it, Aaron. Just across this government for the last 4 years, the greed has just been a disgrace. It's going to be a big relief in January to be finally shaking some of that off. But we have to keep protecting that. That's our charge from now on.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
On this weekend, we have Katie Coles from UNC Family Medicine. We're talking flu shots and COVID.
Sounds good. Again, head to the chapelboro.com broadcast calendar for the full list of show times. We've got a football game tomorrow, of course, but we'll be airing the weekend water cooler several times over the weekend. So check out the broadcast calendar on chapelboro.com for that. Get the full archive of shows at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.